coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Monday, the 8th day of November, 2021. I'm Doug Hagman, HagmanReport.com, two N's on Hagman. With me, of course, is the illustrious, is that a good way to describe it, John Moore, TheLibertyMan.com. By the way, Eric the Tech, it's Monday. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing good, trying to get John back.
Oh, John left us? John left the building? All right. We'll get John back and we'll roll with it. I had a great Patreon meeting last night. I just want to thank everyone that joined me last night. It was really a great time with the people, the supporters of this show, and really enjoyed each and every one of you. I know that the protocol went out late, and I'm sorry about that. I had a conference right after that on the West Coast, and that didn't end until, oh my goodness, I think it was like 12:30 my time, so... anyway, I was just seeing monkeys last night. So, okay. Anyway, let me know when we have John back. We have him, but he's frozen. It's not that cold in Missouri. Come on, man. Come on, man. Corn Pop was a bad dude. All right. So with me is John Moore, TheLibertyMan.com. That's TheLibertyMan.com. Is that on our end or is that on his end, man? We don't know. It's just kind of frozen in time. It doesn't really matter, right? A couple of things while we're waiting for John. And let me just give me a yell, a shout from your lungs there, when he comes on. It's interesting to note that, you know, we have, and I'll play a clip about this, the energy secretary. My goodness. I mean, how ignorant do you have to be, to say, you know what, there's nothing we can really do about gas prices. Oh, and by the way, heating prices this winter for families going to just be off the charts, unprecedented levels. And yet you've got the Biden and Harris regime considering shutting down a second pipeline. That's right. That pipeline is nearly 80 years old, and it runs through the, Indian reservation there in Dakotas. I'm trying to remember. I'll look right here. Michigan oil pipeline. Now, gas prices have tripled since 2020. Tripled. You heard what I said? Tripled. So, how do we fight that when you just kind of shut down a pipeline? Another pipeline. All right. John Moore, TheLibertyMan.com, TheLibertyMan.com. Folks, go there, bookmark his website. That's the web presence of John Moore. Of course, he does 3 hours of radio every single day during the week. That's 7 to 10 Central Time every weekday morning. He's got a great show, and I listen to him. I listen to his shows. And by the way, if you click on that, drill down, you can get his archives as well. So go to TheLibertyMan.com there for his show as well as his... news items of note, and he's got plenty of them there. John, we kind of start out today with on a relatively sad note, and I know you covered this, and I just wanted to tell people, because people asked about this last night at the Patreon meeting. And by the way, folks, this is going to be an abbreviated show today. I apologize. I just apologize. Okay. John, sadly, well, why don't you make the announcement?
Okay, well, this past Friday, Mr. John Stettmiller, the owner of Republic Broadcasting, passed away. While I was doing my show, the ambulance was called to his home. He was unconscious, not responsive, still breathing. The ambulance took him to the hospital, and he died of cardiac arrest in the hospital mid-morning this past Friday. John was 68 years old. He did not have the COVID. He did not get the clot shot. And the medical examiner has his body, and it'll be some period of time, a week or two or more, before we get the report from the medical examiner. Saturday, myself and several of the veteran hosts there at Republic Broadcasting had a conference call with the new owner of Republic Broadcasting. That's John Stettmiller's sister, Alex. we formed a five-man board of directors. I'm on the board of directors, and we are moving forward to keep Republic Broadcasting going and make it bigger and better than ever and carry on Mr. Stettmiller's legacy. That's pretty much it, John. It was a shock. Doug, and, you know, life goes on. It was a shock, but life goes on.
You know, it's amazing, John, we've seen a lot of patriots pass away, all right? A lot of patriots, a lot of people that are in the alternative media, a lot of people who are supportive of the alternative media, a lot of people who are pioneers, as John was, of the alternative media. You know, I don't know what is going on. You know, is it just that we're all getting old and things happen? Is it just that, I don't know. But it's amazing to me. I mean, we've had Russ and Shelley Dizdar pass away. We've had Tom Horn being very sick, Steve Quayle being very sick. Many others, okay? And others also getting harassed as well. You know, look at James O'Keefe with the FBI over a diary that he tried to turn into law enforcement. Things are not right. And John, you know, look, I don't want to be, you know, Looney Tunes out there in the grass, but things are just not right with, in my view, with things, you know, with these events. I just don't know. Any thoughts, any feelings?
Well, there's lots of speculation, Doug, but as you know, I live in the world of evidence. There's no evidence of any misdeeds or wrongdoing on the part of Mr. Stettmiller's death. No evidence that I'm aware of. So we'll just have to write it off as he got sick and he died.
Until we know otherwise. That's right. And you know,
until we know more,
right? And we're still waiting on some, you know, results with Russ and stuff. So, it's just maybe God is you know calling us people home. I don't know, but okay, let's wait and we'll find out. Certainly our sympathy to his family and to his associates, and of course to you, John. That had to be a shock. All right,
it was a shock.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. John, before you get to talking about last Tuesday, I started off with the fact that, you know, we're looking at gas prices tripling since 2020, tripling. And I don't, it depends on where you are in the country geographically, you know, how Biden shut down the Keystone Pipeline, how we as a country, the United States, has more reserves or more energy in terms of oil and gas than Saudi Arabia. And the people talk about lift costs and such, but aside from that, we could be an energy independent country. Now the Biden-Harris regime is shutting down the second, or considering shutting down the second pipeline in Michigan. It's nearly 80 years old. And this is over a tribal issue has not been that big of a deal. It's been discussed in the past, but not that big of a deal in the past. I want to show you this real quick. If we can play clip number four. This is the Energy Secretary, U.S. Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm. You gotta listen to this, and folks, you gotta listen to this, because this is your winter coming up right now. Go ahead and play that.
I don't need to tell you, Tuesday night was not great for Democrats. There is now a Republican-elect governor in Virginia. Republicans almost pulled off an upset in New Jersey. You are a former governor. Mm-hmm. What lessons do you take away from Tuesday night?
That we thank God, and I think that the Democrats in the House got this message very loud and clear, passed the bill, right? And passed the second part, too, because these contain things that everyday people care about. The governor of Michigan today, Gretchen Whitmer, ran on the phrase, fix the damn roads. And that's what this bill does. It fixes the damn roads. It fixes your bridges. It gets broadband to real people. It fixes your homes so that they're not leaking energy. It invests, the second part, invests in childcare, which we know we're the only, you know, industrialized nation that doesn't help families with childcare. These are the basics, bringing down the costs of living for real people. So that you're not paying $500 a year to fix your car because you ran over a pothole.
Well, you mentioned cost of living. I got to ask you about gas prices.
Yeah.
So according to AAA, the national average of gas prices is now $3.42 a gallon. Bank of America is predicting crude oil prices could soar another 50% by next June. Could the average gas price in America be $4 a gallon in the United States soon?
Well, we certainly hope not. As I say, the Energy Information Agency is going to put out their forecast this week. The president is all over this. Of course, every president is frustrated because they can't control the price of gasoline because it's a global market. He can call upon increased supply, which he has done. And OPEC is unfortunately controlling the agenda with respect to oil prices. OPEC is a cartel, and it controls over 50% of the supply of gasoline.
Is there anything that the Biden administration can do about OPEC?
Well, he can call upon them to increase supply, and they have chosen this past week not to do that. So that is going to increase the chokehold on access to affordable fuel at the pump. And so the president is looking at all of the tools that he has.
What about the strategic petroleum?
That's one of the tools that he has, and he is certainly looking at that, and I think we'll be looking at that forecast that's coming out on Tuesday to make.
Should Americans in what will likely be a cold winter, most of them are, expect to pay higher prices for heating their homes?
Yeah, this is going to happen. It will be more expensive this year than last year. We are in a slightly beneficial position, well, certainly relative to Europe, because their chokehold of natural gas is very significant. They're going to pay five times higher. But we have the same problem in fuels that the supply chains have, which is that the oil and gas companies are not flipping the switch as quickly as the demand requires. And so that's why the president has been focused on both the immediate term and the long term. Let us get off of the volatility associated with fossil fuels and associated with others who don't have our country's interests at heart and invest in moving to clean energy where we will not have this problem. And that's so much of what these two bills are focused on.
Wow. I don't even know what to say to that. I know we lost John, and I could just see people reaching for their computers when that beep went off, or the ring went off. Anyway, let me know when he comes back. Is he's back? All right, John. So there was the U.S. Energy Secretary saying, you know what, presidents really don't have the ability to control the prices in the course of the two bills, and she also referenced Tuesday, the one infrastructure bill that was passed. And you know, what can be done, and this is at Conservative Treehouse, you could continue to develop natural gas as a clean burning fuel. You can you can certainly stop blocking the expansion of central oil or coastal oil refineries, and that's taking place in Texas, Louisiana, and Alabama with respect to regulatory issues or due to regulatory issues. Northwest, Northeast, and Southeast seaboard issues as well. We could fix that, reapprove the pre-existing energy leases in New Mexico, Arizona, Northeast Atlantic, and Gulf of Mexico, and finish the Dakota Access Pipeline and permit the use of pre-existing approved leases in Alaska to put more volume into the Alaskan oil pipeline that's been underutilized forever now. So all of these can be done to offset what these high energy costs for Americans this winter. Yet it seems that this administration or this regime, not administration because it's illegitimate, this regime wants to just stomp the middle class. But she also referenced, what's that? You moaned. Is he there? John keeps dropping. Bada bing, bada bang. All right. So, none of those issues that I mentioned, none whatsoever, require any approval from organizations like OPEC and such. So don't blame OPEC. The overall approach, strategically, what I mentioned, that list I mentioned, again, this is referenced to Conservative Treehouse, enhances U.S. national security. By us being energy independent, it enhances our national security, diminishes the influence of countries like Russia, like China and Iran. And I guarantee you, as does the in the article at Conservative Treehouse, the gas prices, both heating oil and natural gas as well as gasoline prices will fall if you institute those. But, you know, if your objective is to help curtail the fossil fuels, as they call them. Okay. Again, I'm not really cool with that phrase, fossil fuels. But if they're looking to bring in this green, renewable energy, build back better under the environment, social governance kind of structure, well, then all of this makes sense. So I think we have to start looking at this, in at least in my view, as this deliberate reconstruction, deconstruction, and then reconstruction of the United States. It only makes sense through that lens. There's no other way. And she referenced the infrastructures, you know, fix the damn roads, right? That's, again, I'm paraphrasing there. Those are her words. Well, okay, hold on a second. That infrastructure bill also contains subsidies for illegals, as well as the bringing the illegals in and giving amnesty to some. It's anywhere between 11 and 15 million. That number is a little bit up in the air. But again, none of that or much of what's in there has nothing to do with putting America first in terms of its infrastructure. So it's ill-named and it's designed to, it was designed for passage, but it's, you know, we're being punked again. John, are you with me? No, we're not. No, he's not. All right. Kind of like, where's Waldo in the picture, right? Find Waldo. Hey, Ricky and John. Ricky, thank you so much. I know it's for dinner tonight. All right. That's an inside joke there to Ricky. God bless you and God bless John. All right. So that's that. That's what we're looking at here. But again, if you look at this only through the lens of the 2030 agenda, the Build Back Better, all across the globe, this makes sense. So it's this push toward this globalist, you know, agenda. And this is why you're going to be paying more for gas. You're already paying more. You're already paying, or you will be paying more for heating oil and heating natural gas. So again, this has all been planned, and this is the deconstruction of the United States through using this as a beatdown. And, you know, again, it's, oh my goodness, it's horrible. But the issue with respect to the second pipeline, I just want to touch on that a little bit. This regime right now, this according to Breitbart, is considering a request from 12 federally recognized tribes to cancel the 78-year-old Line 5 oil pipeline. All right. So the pipeline is owned by a Canadian company named Enbridge, Enbridge. All right. Enbridge, they're already fighting multiple state and federal court battles to keep the pipeline open. Enbridge is. Now, Gretchen Whitmer has already revoked and terminated Enbridge's easement with the state last fall and ordered Line 5 shut down by the spring, which the company is resisting. So this is a multifaceted battle. Again, you can see the people who are shaping up to really crush the United States, crush the middle class. You can read the article on Breitbart. Can we do another clip while we're waiting for him, or is that going to be an issue? All right, I like Eric. Yeah. What do you want to do? I want to go to. This is kind of a humorous one. All right, I want to go to clip three. This is Nancy Pelosi. Now this is a narrated segment from Nancy Pelosi. I wonder how many people have saw this. This is who people believe is running the country, making the decisions. Now, I admit there's political clout here, but you've got to ask yourself, are the decisions being made at this level? And does this represent someone who's making those decisions? Or maybe she was just having, a bad day. Maybe too much, whatever, gin, vodka, or wine from her backyard in San Francisco or in California, right? I don't know. Or was it a glitch or a stroke? This according to the headline here. Watch Nancy Pelosi. And again, think in the back of your mind when you're watching this. Biden, Pelosi. And again, ask yourself, is this the way America should be portrayed to the world? Don't forget, Biden came back, or Biden was over at the COP26 summit there. And according to Camille, of the British royal fame, he had a little accident. Now, when I say accident, it's not the same one he had at the Vatican. This was a dry accident, not a wet one. And, but anyway, having said all that, the embarrassment level, and is this by design? Again, I'm asking you, is this by design? But look at Pelosi, one of the most powerful people in the country, if not the world, a speaker. Try to see what she says. And again, this is narrated by two individuals who, well, they're making comments during this speech, but during this segment. It's about 3 minutes. Watch this. Go ahead.
We're sending stuff over to the Senate. Well, it's, most of the product that we've done is, except now we may have added in the last day or so. And some of what we added is Senate to the bill, like a hearing. Bernie doesn't like hearing. Excuse me. Bernie loves hearing. Manchin doesn't want hearing in the bill and all that stuff. So some is Senate oriented, and then we had the family medical leave. We figured if they're putting things in, then we can put something in.
What the hell?
Manchin doesn't like it. So we are getting some third and privilege. I think mostly we're getting privilege scrub, because privilege scrub is deadly to a bill. Bird box, you know, it's important. It's, you have to take it out, but privilege violation can take you out. So we're again getting that as we go along as well. But when we pass a bill, then they will see it in its aggregate and make some.
Any concerns that any of this is messaging, because that they have to take some of those things out regardless, no matter what you send over? You said you weren't going to send a messaging bill.
No, we're going to send a messaging bill, but we want to be sure that what we send is not birdable or bird bath or privilege scrub.
What?
Exercises we're engaged, bathing exercises we're engaged in, and we're getting good responses. There's no bad answer. You know, it is what it is. There are certain objects.
All right. Now, sometimes I admit I get glitches, okay, and I sound like a babbling baboon, right? But what the hell was that?
Do you glitch for 2 minutes?
No, not like that. And you know what made it even better? Or the two young ladies who were commenting on that or laughing. It just got me laughing. You know, for a manic Monday morning, Monday afternoon, Monday evening, depending on where you sit today, hey, it's Monday funnies. I got to tell you, that was pretty, but it's also scary. It's frightening as well. But there was Nancy Pelosi, and you think, well, okay, yeah, we all have bad days. Well, I don't know. I don't even know what you know what? If you ask me what she said, folks, do you know? I don't know. All right. Before we bring on John by phone, so it's a little bit better connection, because we keep losing him. He keeps leaving the building, but we keep dragging him back. Thought I was out of it, but you keep dragging me back in. I want to just thank my fine friends at Lightstream, lightstream.com/Hagman. Let me tell you something. If you ever had, and I know you have, many of you have, double-digit interest rates on credit cards, and I know that sometimes they cause a lot of trouble. They keep you up at night. They give you nightmares. I'm telling you, the worst thing you can do, in my view anyway, is throw money down the drain with interest. High interest rate credit cards are the biggest, at least, again, in my experience, the biggest drains on your finances. Look, folks, I've got something for you by way of Lightstream.com/Hagman. Be smart and pay off your credit card balances with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. And the rates start at just 4.98% APR with AutoPay and excellent credit, plus the rate's fixed so it won't go up over the life of the loan. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000, no fees whatsoever. You can even get your money as soon as the same day you apply. And you know what? I like it because it's simple, and I've given this link to many, many people that I know, and every single one have had a tremendously positive experience with LightStream, as well as my own family, as well as even here at the studio when we had to restructure our debt load because of expansion. So here's what you can do. This is just for my listeners and viewers. Apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is go to lightstream.com/Hagman. I'm going to spell it out for you. It's LightStream, lightstream.com/Hagman. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 4.98% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% auto-pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply, and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. And as I always say, you will thank me later. You're going to be glad you did, and I appreciate them. Again, the fine folks at LightStream for making this offer available to our listeners and viewers. It's an exclusive offer, and appreciate them a lot. All right. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Finally, we have at least a relatively stable connection. John, I appreciate your patience. I don't know what's going on with the internet, but there we go. There it is. So anyway, John, go ahead. We talked about energy when before we were unceremoniously cut off. Go ahead.
Energy as in petroleum products?
Yeah, you know, I played a clip with the energy secretary on Sunday saying, you know what, your energy is going to, the cost of your energy costs are going to go up this winter. There's nothing they can do about it. You're paying twice as much, three times as much for gas. There's nothing the president can do about it, when in fact there's a bunch of stuff they could do about it, but they're choosing not to because I believe it's an assault on the middle class. Despite, at the beginning of that clip, you had mentioned Tuesday's results, last Tuesday's, with respect to Virginia, despite the mandate, a real mandate, getting the numbskull globalist slash tyrant out of office in Virginia, McAuliffe, that criminal tyrant, in my view. But anyway, so it's all designed to crush the middle class, in my view. John?
Well, it is. Clearly it is. And, well, thank you, Doug. It's good to be with you, as always. Well, I believe make-believe President Biden signed an executive order very quickly, 24 hours, 48 hours after taking the oath of office to shut down the Keystone Pipeline. That's my recollection. How about you?
Yeah, exactly. And not only that, there were some regulatory issues. And you can keep John's screen up there because people, I would urge everyone to go to John Moore, thelibertyman.com. But there were some other issues, regulatory issues, with respect to some of the other. Do I want to call them energy sectors? I suppose in the Northeast and the Pacific Northwest, as well as around the Gulf Coast. So there were some regulatory issues that came up there. There were, but things that he could do would be to permit the existing approval leases in Anwar or Alaska to put more volume into the Alaskan oil pipeline, which has been severely underutilized, finish the Dakota Access Pipeline, reapprove pre-existing energy leases in New Mexico, Arizona, Northeast Atlantic, and Gulf of Mexico, and continue to develop natural gas as a clean burning fuel. And also, as you had indicated, reopen or retract the stoppage of the Keystone Pipeline to permit efficient oil transport shipments from Canada. So he could do all of that, but chose not to.
Right. Well, the goal of the socialist, communist, Democrats, Muslims is to destroy the country, and that's part of destroying the country. We were, before Biden took office, we were a net petroleum exporting country. You know, we exported more than we imported. So that's all changed, obviously. And manipulating or changing the price of petroleum products changes society in very dramatic and adverse ways. Now, last time I checked, a gallon of unleaded regular gasoline in California was, I think, $7.58 a gallon.
It was over $7.
Yeah, that would shut down most economies in most states, or bring them to, slow them down dramatically because of the. Here's what happens when you have expensive fuel. All discretionary travel, which means all discretionary spending, stops. People stop going to restaurants. They stop going to movie shows. They stop going to all kinds of sports events and entertainment events because the price of fuel is just so exorbitant that they're trying to save as much money as possible by not traveling and staying home and watching TV instead of going to restaurants and movie shows and sporting events, you know, which is a big part of our economy, Doug. It's a huge part of our economy that's being sold down and harmed by expensive fuel in California and other places.
It just drives me crazy to think that people, John, I was thinking about you this weekend too, because I know you're a guy that runs on facts and you're a guy that looks at things very pragmatically. And of course that's based on your training, your experiences, you know, life experience. And I like to think I am too, but it's hard to look at what's going on in this country and not believe. I mean, the only way any of this makes sense is the deliberate deconstruction of our republic and replacement with a subservient nation state of the, and that's being charitable, replace it with a nation state subjugating itself to the World Economic Forum or Agenda 2030 or the globalist agenda. That's kind of the way I'm looking at it, because otherwise it doesn't make sense. Why would you shoot yourself in the foot as a nation when in fact, you don't have to. So that's that. Now, because our time is limited today, I'm going to move on, John. I'm going to get your take on this because, again, over the weekend, and a lot of people are not aware of this. And I don't know if you've covered this on your show. I'm about three shows behind, with your show. But, Kyle Rittenhouse is on trial in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And when you look at the name of the mayor and the name of the head detective that charged Kyle Rittenhouse, and then the name of the DA that's prosecuting him, they're all related, same last name. But that aside, this is what's happening right now in the Rittenhouse trial. You've got George Floyd's not real nephew, but he calls himself George Floyd's nephew, Cortez Rice. Remember that name, because that's going to start something here. He's making a claim that he knows people are taking photos of the jurors who are deciding the fate in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial in Kenosha. And his stated goal, is to dox the jurors, hence to threaten them and make sure that they decide properly. Now, I want to show you a video clip here real quick. I don't know if you can see it, but you'll be able to hear it. You may not be able to understand it. I could barely understand it, but here it is. Watch this real quick.
Justice for Dante Wright. Justice for Austin. I ain't even going to name the people that I know that's up in the Kenosha trial. But there's cameras in there. Yep. It's definitely cameras up in there, and there's definitely people taking pictures of the juries and everything like that. We know what's going on. So we need the same results, man. We need the same results. Justice for Dante Wright. Justice for Austin.
Okay, so this is – so he's saying let's dox the jurors. Let's threaten the jurors in the Rittenhouse trial. Now – Dante Wright, he mentioned. I'm gonna give it this back to you. Dante Wright, that trial is going on, but they disallowed cameras in the courtroom, which upset Cortez Rice and upset some of the people who are watching this. But that said, what does this guy do? He goes to the judge's house, the judge hearing the trial of Dante regarding Dante Wright, and the judge hearing that case. He goes to the judge's house. Watch this real quick. It's like 2 minutes, if that, or a minute and a half. That's number two on the second one. Here it is. Is that a hubba bubba? I don't know, by the way.
tight on her ass. We on our heels. What she think is sweet? We want cameras in the courtroom. The people deserve to know what's going on. I'm just doing some shares right quick. Why she think it's sweet, right?
All right. This is showing for the sweet, radio. Sweet. He's walking down the common hallway.
She think it's sweet, sweet.
To the judge's residence.
I don't know if this is her crib. I think this is her crib right here. We got confirmation that this is her house right here.
So the pictures of the hallway. So he's doxing the judge in the Dante Wright trial.
Predominantly white neighborhood. Look at this shit.
Okay, you can stop it right there. You get the idea. So this guy, Cortez Rice, who claims, who identifies himself as a nephew to George Floyd, who's not, is attempting to threaten and dox and threaten the jurors in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, and then moving on to the judge in the Dante Wright case. John, when have you seen this before? And where in the hell is the FBI? Where is the local law enforcement? Where are these people? I mean, what world is this right?
I don't know if the FBI has any jurisdiction, but certainly local law enforcement does. And intimidating a judge is a really dumb thing to do. Cameras don't belong in courtrooms. It changes the entire, everything in the trial becomes different. It's just human nature to be changing your behavior when you know there's TV cameras pointed at you, and that's not good. Now, the jury, I hope, is sequestered. I hope the jury has no access to radio, TV, or newspapers to become intimidated. That will change the outcome of the trial. Also, all it takes is, you know, it's bad. It's just bad. Any way you look at it, it's bad. This guy who claims to be George Floyd's nephew, that's what he claims.
It's more like a badge of honor for him. He's not a blood relative whatsoever. He just identifies as George Floyd's nephew.
Yeah, okay. Well, be that as it may, George Floyd killed himself. When that video, we didn't talk about this because this changed the whole country, Doug. We have movie night at the American Legion every once a week, and a few days after that Floyd video came out of him being on the ground with the knee on the neck, I said to the pastor of my church, he was at movie night, I said that, well, they've had bad examples to make all these years of people allegedly wrongfully hurt. They were all bad examples, but now they finally got a good one. I didn't know at the time the existence of the earlier video, which wasn't revealed for many months after the nationwide riots, by the way, of George Floyd sitting in the back of the police cruiser, handcuffed behind his back, saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. That was not shown to the public for months until the riots had already taken place. If it had been, that would have changed the entire outcome of what happened with George Floyd's death. George Floyd, I don't know what was in the police officer's mind, but they must have thought he was claustrophobic. They removed him from the cruiser at his own request, put him on the ground, put the knee on the neck, which is not harmful to a normal, healthy adult male, not at all. Doesn't hamper your breathing or anything else. And he died because he killed himself with drugs. Now, that's George Floyd's fault, not the police officer's. If he'd remained seated in the back of that police cruiser, he would have died sitting right there. In the police cruiser of the drug overdose, just like he did on the ground a few minutes later.
You know, John, I remember, and this is back early 80s, going through municipal police officer training. Okay, so this is a 26-week course, and I remember, I believe we spent, I think, 5 days on proper restraint of a suspect. That include, I mean, again, I'm pulling this from memory from 40 years ago, all right? And at that time, if memory serves me correctly, putting an individual in restraints on the ground in the fashion that they did with George Floyd was perfectly okay. As a matter of fact, that's how you would restrain someone who is combative. So when did those definitions or that those techniques change? George Floyd changed them? I mean, is that seriously? I don't know, because I'm not a police officer. So when did they change?
Well, I haven't looked into it. At the time this was all taking place, which is nearly 2 years ago, there were statements that the police department was of this jurisdiction was still using that as an approved restraint method. In addition, at my website at thelibertyman.com, I have a police martial arts instructor in the Czech Republic. He speaks pretty good English, by the way. Not a big guy. He's about maybe 5'10", maybe 165 pounds. He gets on the ground and has an instructor who's a big guy, maybe 200 pounds or so, put all his body weight on the neck of the instructor on the ground. And he clearly shows one leg up in the air, no support of the other two arms touching anything. All the body weight on the knee, on the neck, and the instructor is talking with what appears to be no problems at all, no issues at all, just talking in a normal speaking voice, which you can't, if your air is being cut off, you can't do that. You can't talk in a normal speaking voice at all.
That's right.
And that video is on my website. That's a complete diffusion of the storyline that the knee on the neck causes any problems with breathing. It simply doesn't. George Floyd himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's irrefutable.
Yeah, he overdosed. Period.
He had enough drugs in his body to kill more than two normal men.
Yeah. Yeah. But yet, a portion of America was burned down over the perceived look. It looks bad, okay? I have to admit, when you're looking at it, it looks
terrible.
Absolutely. The optics were horrible. But then again, okay, he had asked to be taken from the back of the cruiser. He had asked to be, he was allowed to sit on the ground, and then, of course, I don't recall what happened, but nonetheless, he had to be restrained, subsequently restrained. The optics were bad, but the fact of the matter is, there was how many billions of dollars in damage by these people, morons, saying, you know, and look at the catchphrase, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. Okay, well, you know, and the reason I played the opening or the Kyle Rittenhouse, can you imagine, and if this jury is not a rogue jury like the O.J. Simpson jury, can you imagine what's going to happen when Kyle Rittenhouse is found not guilty? I'm just, you know, especially with people like this Cortez guy, Cortez Rice, out there saying, you know, trying to dox the jurors, going to Dante Rice, the judge in Dante Rice's trial, going to her house. I mean, can you imagine the civil unrest we're going to see if this does happen? Go ahead, sir.
I can imagine, because I've seen it before. Of course I can imagine.
Yeah.
Supposed to be going on for decades. When Rodney King's trial was going on, there, you know, one or two black radio stations in Los Angeles were broadcasting all this hateful Marxist diatribe to get the barefoot peasants riled up. I refer to myself as a barefoot peasant, by the way. And they were quite successful. That was the days before the Internet, before everybody was walking around with a telephone that's basically a small computer. Before all that, there was radio. And that's what got the L.A. riots going, was the hateful speech coming out of the black radio stations in Los Angeles. I did interview a retired Los Angeles firefighter, and he says, John, after the L.A. riots, we were finding military issue incendiary devices in the burned-up buildings. Now, people in the ghetto typically don't have access to military issue incendiary devices.
That's true.
Not that I've ever heard. No.
So, you know, what are we to make of this? Are we that infiltrated? Because this is going to be one of the issues, I believe, that we're going to be seeing that's going to cause a crackdown on people who are completely innocent and not even involved in what's taking place. There's going to be a call for, like always, there's going to be a call for gun restrictions, further gun laws and such. But also, this could lead to some sort of limited geographical clampdown, like martial law. I don't know if that's the desired outcome, but it certainly seems that way. Go ahead.
Well, it's possible. It's very possible. Now, this character described himself as George Floyd's nephew. He may be a man who was recruited and trained and paid for by George Soros people. I don't know that, but I think it's very possible. You know, chances are the Soros people in major cities will be standing by that when the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict comes out in Kyle's favor and he's found not guilty, that they will get their marching orders to begin the riots immediately. The media will portray it as being spontaneous outbursts of people upset over the verdict, when in fact it's people who could care less about Kyle Rittenhouse. They're just doing what they're paid to do, which is start riots in major cities. And based on what we've seen in the last couple of years, they may have some success, Doug.
Do you hold any hope that everything that we're seeing today and you know, so, the conversation last night with members of the Patreon group, there's a question that I couldn't answer. You know, how soon do you think, to me, it was asked, how soon do you think it will be before, you know, the fit hits the shan? And I didn't have an answer for that. And I don't know what kind of precipitating event would lead to that. Any thoughts as we are, you know, weeks away from the end of the year?
Roger that. It's about 7 weeks till the end of the year. We're supposed to commence the COVID shots for children 5 years old and older. That may be a line in the sand for many people, many parents and grandparents who have woke up to what's going on with these clot shots. Pfizer, I believe it is paying for advertisements that make it look like to a child that they'll have superpowers if they get the Pfizer clot shot. That's absolutely criminal, what they're doing there, in influencing our most vulnerable young citizens, boys and girls, age 5 and older, to get the clot shot through these deceptive means. I have a neighbor at the top of the hill from me here. He got the clot shot, and he was, not long after that, experiencing a heartbeat of 300 beats per minute and was taken by a helicopter to the nearest hospital. So he didn't know the relationship of the clot shots to his heart. He thought they were totally unrelated until I informed him that the tachycardia is a well-known direct effect. I don't call them side effects. Direct effect of the clot shots. Now, further research of the VAERS database is showing that almost all the fatalities and serious injuries came from very few lots. Each lot had about 6,000 vials. I think it was about three lots that had almost all the fatalities and all the serious side effects, direct effects. That shows pre-planning, in my opinion. It shows they're doing what we believe they're doing, which is having a saline solution in most of these, and the real juice that kills you in only a very few. Of course, when you take the booster shot, you're elevating your chance of getting it at that five-month interval. And then 5 months later, when you get your next booster shot, you're elevating it even more. And I would think that the demons at Pfizer would be smart enough to make sure that they got the poisonous clot shots distributed to different zip codes rather than the same zip code to make sure they have the maximum effect. What do you think, Doug?
You know, that leads me, yes, I believe, first of all, I believe the lies upon lies upon lies of this. They're compounding the lies. I believe this was a bioweaponized version of the coronavirus taken from a bat done by Xi Zhengli in Wuhan. I believe that the Fauci Collins NIH and NIAID funded the research by way of Ralph Baric from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. There was also a British pharmaceutical guy, as well as a Canadian, a couple of Canadian scientists that were also involved in the creation of this, as well as the creation of the, quote, vaccines, which are not vaccines. They changed the definition of what a vaccine is twice since 2015, once on September 1st. They immunized, of course, the companies like Pfizer and Moderna and other companies. Plus, the FDA approval is for a vaccine, again, not a vaccine, but for that juice. It's not being used today. So there's a lot of problems here. And I want to show you this, or you can hear this, John. This is Dr. Robert Malone, the creator of the mRNA jab, or the mRNA genetic modification, interviewed by Laura Ingraham. It's about 2.5-3 minutes, and it kind of says what you said and where you were headed. So I'll play this for you, and you can comment on the other side. Go ahead and play that.
What the reaction would be from Fauci and friends, they'll just continue to push divisive and immoral vaccine mandates. But a brave group of independent-minded physicians and scientists are standing up to the COVID mob. Tomorrow, they're going to gather in Ocala, Florida, to affirm their support for a declaration opposing COVID-19 mandates that has been signed now by nearly 13,000 experts standing against all that. Now, joining me now are two of the most prominent doctors who've signed that declaration, Dr. Harvey Risch, epidemiologist at the Yale School of Medicine, and Dr. Robert Malone, immunologist and architect of the mRNA vaccines. Also with us is Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, Stanford School of Medicine professor. Now, Dr. Malone, tell us very clearly and succinctly why you signed this declaration and why was it an important moment for you to declare now?
Physicians are being hunted by a press and by the medical boards as an attempt to shut down their right to practice medicine as they see fit in working with their patients. This has got to stop.
Now, you're one of the architects of the mRNA vaccine. Without you, who knows where we would have ended up on this, this technology, this new experimental drug. So the government says, we just want to save lives. This is all about saving lives. Dr. Malone.
If that's the case, then they would have done the risk-benefit analysis stratified by age back when I had conversations with Nancy Pelosi's office about this. The words are not consistent with the actions. You know, we can use the words like lying or dissembling or misrepresentation, but their actions speak volumes.
Well, that begs the question of what their motivation really is. And Dr. Fauci was on cable news earlier this week taking this all a step further and pushing vaccines for 5 to 11-year-olds. Watch.
It's important for the children. We have 28 million children from 5 to 11 years old who will benefit personally from a health standpoint. The safety profile is really quite good. Our FDA, particularly when it comes to children, are very, very scrupulous in figuring out whether or not we have a benefit-risk ratio that's favorable.
Oh, Dr. Risch, he's contradicting what Dr. Malone just said about the benefit-risk analysis. So where is Fauci getting this wrong?
He's believing the CDC, what the CDC says. The CDC is in total denial over the amount of adverse events that have occurred from these vaccines. They played it down. They used the VAERS, which underreports. We have an inkling of this because when Pfizer presented to the FDA about the 5 to 11's data from their randomized trial, there was a slide that showed the Optum database information on myocarditis, which was four times what the VAERS showed, and the study on athletes also showed that asymptomatic myocarditis is four times the number of actually diagnosed myocarditis. So we're talking about 16-fold larger numbers of myocarditis in young people, and this is just totally being repressed or distorted by the CDC and the FDA.
Now, Dr. Bhattacharya, I want to play a really emotional moment from a Texas father on this issue of vaccine side effects.
I was a father of a 16-year-old son, a single parent. I raised my boy since he was a baby. He meant the world to me. They need to quit pushing this on their children. I lost mine. Y'all need to protect yours. And they say it's worth the risk. It wasn't worth the risk.
Obviously very difficult to listen to. He lost his son after his son received the vaccine. Why are stories like these not really being told?
I mean, I think the fact is the children, the risk the children face from COVID is so small that almost any risk from the vaccine itself might cut against recommending the vaccine. I think it should be something that's left up to the parents and the pediatricians that they have. Like, you might have a child with special needs that have some additional risk from COVID. It's really a risk benefit that's best done at the individual level. Not telling people, telling people that the vaccine is entirely safe is actually really harmful to public health. It's not entirely safe. I mean, I think it's largely safe, but it's not entirely safe. And you have stories like this that just pull at your heartstrings. No medicine is perfectly safe. You have to tell people honestly what the risks are and then let them make choices. These mandates are absolutely insane. They're destroying the trust in public health. And we'll get many more stories like this. I'm worried that other vaccines that are actually useful and important for children, people will stop trusting.
All right,
terrifying prospect. But I think,
okay, John, said a lot of stuff there. I don't know if you were able to hear that entire clip, but
I did.
Okay.
I heard.
So go ahead and, you know, what is your take on all of this combined, especially with Dr. Malone, the inventor of the mRNA genetic therapy treatment, whatever you want to call it, and VAERS. You mentioned VAERS too.
Right.
You know, so
these doctors are trying to make it sound not quite so bad as it is. They're talking here about the alleged safety. There's nothing safe about these vaccinations at all. My heart goes out to the father of the 16-year-old who, out of ignorance, thought it would be some health benefit to a 16-year-old boy to get the COVID clot shot. The chance of a healthy 16-year-old boy having anything other than a case of the flu with the COVID-19 is almost non-existent. Almost non-existent. My neighbor, going back to my neighbor up the road, his information comes from television, as far as I know, and he thought the COVID clot shot was just a dandy thing for him to do. Him and his wife both got it. I don't know if the wife has had any adverse reactions yet or not. But another neighbor at the top of the hill from me, a nationally known rock and roll star, Rusty Young, the lead guitar and founder of Poco, the rock and roll band. So he got the clot shot in a drive-through facility and went to sleep 33 days later and didn't wake up. Initially, his wife thought it was a blood clot, but that was changed to a heart attack later. These incidents are happening all over the country. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of men and women, and now teenagers and soon to be children, that will be getting sick and die. A good reminder is what happened with the swine flu vaccine in 1976. 32 people died, and they shut down the entire program nationwide. We've already had more than 1,000 Americans die from the COVID-19 vaccines, and they're still being promoted as being safe and effective. It's absolutely insane.
It is insane. And John, I know that you spend a lot of time trying to reconnect with me. We've reached the end of this hour, so I just want to say thank you so much for being a part of this show. TheLibertyMen.com. Folks, Doug, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, we'll do this next week. Appreciate
it. I appreciate your patience and your flexibility and the fact that you hung with me today. All right, TheLibertyMen.com. Go there, folks. Download his shows. Listen, and may God bless John Moore. May God bless each and every one of you. Have a great night. Welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Monday, the 8th day of November, 2021. I'm Doug Hagman, HagmanReport.com, two ends on Hagman. With me, of course, is the illustrious, is that a good way to describe it, John Moore, TheLibertyMen.com. By the way, Eric the Tech, it's Monday. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing good, trying to get John back.
Oh, John left us? John left the building? All right. We'll get John back and we'll roll with it. I had a great Patreon meeting last night. I just want to thank everyone that joined me last night. It was really, really a great time with the people, the supporters of the show, and really enjoyed each and every one of you. I know that the protocol went out late, and I'm sorry about that. I had a conference right after that on the West Coast. And that didn't end until, oh my goodness, I think it was like 12:30 my time. So anyway, I was just seeing monkeys last night. So, okay, anyway, let me know when we have John back. We have him, but he's frozen. It's not that cold in Missouri. Come on, man. Come on, man. Corn Pop was a bad dude. All right, so with me is John Moore. TheLibertyMen.com. That's TheLibertyMen.com. Is that on our end or is that on his end, right? We don't know. It's just kind of frozen in time. It doesn't really matter, right? A couple of things while we're waiting for John. And let me just give me a yell, a shout from your lungs there when he comes on. It's interesting to note that, you know, we have, and I'll play a clip about this, the energy secretary. My goodness. I mean, how ignorant do you have to be to say, you know what, there's nothing we can really do about gas prices. Oh, and by the way, heating prices this winter for families going to just be off the charts, unprecedented levels. And yet you've got the Biden and Harris regime considering shutting down a second pipeline. That's right. That pipeline is nearly 80 years old, and it runs through the Indian reservation there in Dakotas. I'm trying to remember. I'll look right here. Michigan. The Michigan oil pipeline. Now, gas prices have tripled since 2020. Tripled. You heard what I said? Tripled. So, how do we fight that when you just kind of shut down a pipeline? Another pipeline. All right, John Moore, TheLibertyMen.com, TheLibertyMen.com. Folks, go there, bookmark his website. That's the web presence of John Moore. Of course, he does 3 hours of radio every single day during the week. That's 7 to 10 Central Time every weekday morning. He's got a great show, and I listen to him. I listen to his shows. And by the way, if you click on that drill down, you can get his archives as well. So go to TheLibertyMen.com there for the his show, as well as his news items of note, and he's got plenty of them there. So we kind of start out today with on a relatively sad note, and I know you covered this, and I just wanted to tell people, because people asked about this last night in the Patreon meeting. And by the way, folks, this is going to be an abbreviated show today. I apologize. I just apologize. Okay. John, sadly, well, why don't you make the announcement?
Okay, well, this past Friday, Mr. John Stettmiller, the owner of Republic Broadcasting, passed away. While I was doing my show, the ambulance was called to his home. He was unconscious, not responsive, still breathing. The ambulance took him to the hospital, and he died of cardiac arrest in the hospital mid-morning this past Friday. John was 68 years old. He did not have the COVID. He did not get the clot shot. And the medical examiner has his body, and it'll be some period of time, a week or two or more, before we get the report from the medical examiner. Saturday, myself and several of the veteran host there at Republic Broadcasting, had a conference call with the new owner of Republic Broadcasting. That's John Stettmiller's sister, Alex. We formed a five-man board of directors. I'm on the board of directors, and we are moving forward to keep Republic Broadcasting going and make it bigger and better than ever and carry on Mr. Stettmiller's legacy. That's pretty much it, John. It was a shock. Doug, and you know, life goes on. It was a shock, but life goes on.
You know, it's amazing, John, that we've seen a lot of patriots pass away. All right. A lot of patriots, a lot of people that are in the alternative media, a lot of people who are supportive of the alternative media, a lot of people who are pioneers, as John was, of the alternative media. You know, I don't know what is going on. You know, is it just that we're all getting old and things happen? Is it just that, I don't know, but it's amazing to me. I mean, we've had Russ and Shelley Dizdar pass away. We've had, Tom Horn being very sick, Steve Quayle being very sick, many others. Okay. And others also getting harassed as well. You know, look at James O'Keefe with the FBI over a diary that he tried to turn into law enforcement. Things are not right. And John, you know, look, I don't want to be, you know, Looney Tunes out there in the grass, but things are just not right with, in my view, with things, you know, with these events. I just don't know. Any thoughts, any feelings?
Well, there's lots of speculation, Doug, but as you know, I live in the world of evidence. There's no evidence of any misdeeds or wrongdoing on the part of Mr. Stettmiller's death. No evidence that I'm aware of. So we'll just have to write it off as he got sick and he died.
Until we know otherwise. That's right. And you know,
until we know more,
right? And we're still waiting on some, you know, results with Russ and stuff. So, it's just maybe God is you know, calling his people home. I don't know, but okay, let's wait and we'll find out. Certainly our sympathy to his family and to his associates, and of course to you, John. That had to be a shock. All right,
it was a shock.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. John, before you get to talking about last Tuesday, I started off with the fact that, you know, we're looking at gas prices tripling since the first, or since 2020, tripling. And I don't, it depends on where you are in the country geographically, you know, how Biden shut down the Keystone Pipeline, how we as a country, the United States, has more reserves or more energy in terms of oil and gas than Saudi Arabia. And the, you know, people talk about lift costs and such, but aside from that, we could be an energy independent company, a country. Now, the Biden-Harris regime is shutting down considering shutting down a second pipeline in Michigan. It's nearly 80 years old. And this is over a tribal issue has not been that big of a deal. It's been discussed in the past, but not that big of a deal in the past. I want to show you this real quick. If we can play clip number four. This is the Energy Secretary, U.S. Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm. You got to listen to this, and folks, you got to listen to this, because this is your winter coming up right now. Go ahead and play that.
I don't need to tell you, Tuesday night was not great for Democrats. There is now a Republican-elect governor in Virginia. Republicans almost pulled off an upset in New Jersey. You are a former governor. Mm-hmm. What lessons do you take away from Tuesday night?
That we thank God, and I think that the Democrats in the House got this message very loud and clear, passed the bill, right, and passed the second part, too, because these contain things that everyday people care about. The governor of Michigan today, Gretchen Whitmer, ran on the phrase, fix the damn roads. And that's what this bill does. It fixes the damn roads. It fixes your bridges. It gets broadband to real people. It fixes your homes so that they're not leaking energy. It invests, the second part, invests in childcare, which we know we're the only, you know, industrialized nation that doesn't help families with childcare. These are the basics, bringing down the costs of living for real people. so that you're not paying $500 a year to fix your car because you ran over a pothole.
Well, you mentioned cost of living. I got to ask you about gas prices.
Yeah.
So according to AAA, the national average of gas prices is now $3.42 a gallon. Bank of America is predicting crude oil prices could soar another 50% by next June. Could the average gas price in America be $4 a gallon in the United States soon?
Well, we certainly hope not. As I say, the Energy Information Agency is going to put out their forecast this week. The president is all over this. Of course, every president is frustrated because they can't control the price of gasoline because it's a global market. He can call upon increased supply, which he has done. And OPEC is unfortunately controlling the agenda with respect to oil prices. OPEC is a cartel, and it controls over 50% of the supply of gasoline.
Is there anything that the Biden administration can do about OPEC?
Well, he can call upon them to increase supply, and they have chosen this past week not to do that. So that is going to increase the chokehold on access to affordable fuel at the pump. And so the president is looking at all of the tools that he has.
What about the strategic petroleum?
That's one of the tools that he has, and he is certainly looking at that, and I think we'll be looking at that forecast that's coming out on Tuesday.
Should Americans in what will likely be a cold winter, most of them are, expect to pay higher prices for heating their homes?
Yeah, this is going to happen. It will be more expensive this year than last year. We are in a slightly beneficial position, well, certainly relative to Europe, because their chokehold of natural gas is very significant. They're going to pay five times higher. But we have the same problem in fuels that the supply chains have, which is that the oil and gas companies are not flipping the switch as quickly as the demand requires. And so that's why the president has been focused on both the immediate term and the long term. Let us get off of the volatility associated with fossil fuels and associated with others who don't have our country's interests at heart and invest in moving to clean energy where we will not have this problem. And that's so much of what these two bills are focused on.
Wow. I don't even know what to say to that. I know we lost John, and I could just see people reaching for their computers when that beep went off, or the ring went off. Anyway, let me know when he comes back. Is he's back? All right, John. So there was the U.S. Energy Secretary saying, you know what, presidents really don't have the ability to control the prices in the course of the two bills, and she also referenced Tuesday, the one infrastructure bill that was passed. And, you know, what can be done, and this is at what can be done, this is at Conservative Treehouse, you could continue to develop natural gas as a clean burning fuel. You can you can certainly stop blocking the expansion of central oil or coastal oil refineries, and that's taking place in Texas, Louisiana, and Alabama with respect to regulatory issues or due to regulatory issues. Northwest, Northeast, and Southeast seaboard issues as well. We could fix that. Reapprove the pre-existing energy leases in New Mexico, Arizona, Northeast Atlantic, and Gulf of Mexico, and finish the Dakota Access Pipeline and permit the use of pre-existing approved leases in Alaska to put more volume into the Alaskan oil pipeline that's been underutilized forever now. So all of these can be done to offset what these high energy costs for Americans this winter. Yet it seems that this administration or this regime, not administration because it's illegitimate, this regime wants to just stomp the middle class. But she also referenced, what's that? You moaned. Is he there? John keeps dropping. Bada bing, bada bang. All right. So, none of those issues that I mentioned, none whatsoever, need require any approval from organizations like OPEC and such. So don't blame OPEC. The overall approach, strategically, what I mentioned, that list I mentioned, again, this is reference to Conservative Treehouse, enhances U.S. national security. By us being energy independent, it enhances our national security, diminishes the influence of countries like Russia, like China and Iran. And I guarantee you, as does the in the article at Conservative Treehouse, the gas prices, both heating oil and natural gas as well as gasoline prices, will fall if you institute those. But, you know, if your objective is to help curtail the fossil fuels, as they call them, okay, again, I'm not really cool with that phrase, fossil fuels, but if that's, if they're looking to bring in this green renewable energy, build back better under the environment, social governance kind of structure, well, then all of this makes sense. So I think we have to start looking at this, in at least in my view, as this deliberate reconstruction, deconstruction, and then reconstruction of the United States. It only makes sense through that lens. There's no other way. And she referenced the infrastructures, you know, fix the damn roads, right? That's, again, I'm paraphrasing there. Those are her words. Well, okay, hold on a second. That infrastructure bill also contains subsidies for illegals, as well as the bringing the illegals in and giving amnesty to some. It's anywhere between 11 and 15 million. That number is a little bit up in the air. But again, none of that or much of what's in there has nothing to do with putting America first in terms of its infrastructure. So it's ill-named and it's designed to, it was designed for passage, but it's, you know, we're being punked again. John, are you with me? No, we're not. No, he's not. All right. Kind of like Where's Waldo in the picture, right? Find Waldo. Hey, Ricky and John. Ricky, thank you so much. I know what's for dinner tonight. All right. And that's an inside joke there to Ricky. God bless you and God bless John. All right. So that's that. That's what we're looking at here. But again, if you look at this only through the lens of the 2030 agenda, the Build Back Better, all across the globe, this makes sense. So it's this push toward this globalist, you know, agenda. And this is why you're going to be paying more for gas. You're already paying more. You're already paying, or you will be paying more for heating oil and heating natural gas. So again, this has all been planned, and this is the deconstruction of the United States through using this as a beatdown. And, you know, again, it's, oh my goodness, it's horrible. But the issue with respect to the second pipeline, I just want to touch on that a little bit. This regime right now, this according to Breitbart, is considering a request from 12 federally recognized tribes to cancel the 78-year-old Line 5 oil pipeline. All right. So the pipeline is owned by a Canadian company named Enbridge, E-N-B-R-I-D-G-E. All right. Enbridge, they're already fighting multiple state and federal court battles to keep the pipeline open. Enbridge is. Now, Gretchen Whitmer has already revoked and terminated Enbridge's easement with the state last fall and ordered Line 5 shut down by the spring, which the company is resisting. So this is a multifaceted battle. Again, you can see the people who are shaping up to really crush the United States, crush the middle class. You can read the article on Breitbart. Can we do another clip while we're waiting for him, or is that going to be an issue? All right. I like Eric. Yeah. What do you want to do? I want to go to, this is kind of a humorous one. All right. I want to go to clip three. This is Nancy Pelosi. Now this is a narrated segment from Nancy Pelosi. I wonder how many people have saw this. This is who people believe is running the country, making the decisions. Now, I admit there's political clout here, but you've got to ask yourself, are the decisions being made at this level? And does this represent someone who's making those decisions? Or maybe she was just having, oh, I don't know, a bad day. Maybe too much whatever, gin, vodka, or wine from her backyard in San Francisco or in California, right? I don't know. Or was it a glitch or a stroke? This according to the headline here. Watch Nancy Pelosi. And again, think in the back of your mind when you're watching this. Biden. Pelosi. And again, ask yourself, is this the way America should be portrayed to the world? Don't forget, Biden came back, or Biden was over at the COP26 summit there, and according to Camille of the British royal fame, he had a little accident. Now, when I say accident, it's not the same one he had at the Vatican. This was a dry accident, not a wet one. But anyway, having said all that, the embarrassment level, and is this by design? Again, I'm asking you, is this by design? But look at Pelosi, one of the most powerful people in the country, if not the world, a speaker. Try to see what she says. And again, this is narrated by two individuals who, well, they're making comments during this speech, but during this segment. It's about 3 minutes. Watch this. Go ahead.
We're sending stuff over to the Senate. Well, most of the product that we've done is, except now we may have added in the last day or so. And some
what?
Of what we added is Senate to the bill, like a hearing. Bernie doesn't like hearing. Excuse me. Bernie loves hearing. Manchin doesn't want hearing in the bill and all that stuff. So some is Senate oriented, and then we have the family medical need. We figured if they're putting things in, then we can put something in.
What
if
the hell?
Manchin doesn't like it. So we are getting some third and privilege. I think mostly we're getting privilege scrub, because privilege scrub is devilish to a bill. Bird box, no, it's important. It's, you have to take it out, but privilege violation can take you out. So we're again getting that as we go along as well. But when we pass a bill, then they will see it in its aggregate and make some.
Any concerns that any of this is messaging, because that they have to take some of those things out regardless, no matter what you send over? You said you weren't going to send a messaging bill.
No, we're not sending a messaging bill, but we want to be sure that what we send is not birdable or bird bath or privilege scrub.
What?
Exercises we're engaged, bathing exercises we're engaged in, and we're getting good responses. There's no bad answer. You know, it is what it is. There's a certain object.
All right. Now, sometimes I admit I get glitches, okay, and I sound like a babbling baboon, right? But what the hell was that?
Do you glitch for 2 minutes?
No, not like that. And you know what made it even better? Or the two young ladies who were commenting on that or laughing. It just got me laughing. You know, for a manic Monday morning, Monday afternoon, Monday evening, depending on where you sit today, hey, it's Monday funnies. I got to tell you, but it's also scary. It's frightening as well. But there was Nancy Pelosi, and you think, well, okay, yeah, we all have bad days. Well, I don't know. I don't even know what you know what? If you ask me what she said, folks, do you know? I don't know. All right. Before we bring on John by phone, so it's a little bit better connection, because we keep losing him. He keeps leaving the building, but we keep dragging him back. Thought I was out of it, but you keep dragging me back in. I want to just thank my fine friends at Lightstream, lightstream.com/Hagman. Let me tell you something. If you ever had, and I know you have, many of you have, double-digit interest rates on credit cards. And I know that sometimes they cause a lot of trouble. They keep you up at night. They give you nightmares. I'm telling you, the worst thing you can do, in my view anyway, is throw money down the drain with interest. High interest rate credit cards are the biggest, at least, again, in my experience, the biggest drains on your finances. Look, folks, I've got something for you by way of Lightstream.com/Hagman. Be smart and pay off your credit card balances with a credit card consolidation loan from Lightstream. And the rates start at just 4.98% APR with auto pay and excellent credit. Plus, the rate's fixed, so it won't go up over the life of the loan. You can get a loan from $5,000 to $100,000 and no fees whatsoever. You can even get your money as soon as the same day you apply. And you know what? I like it because it's simple. And I've given this to, given this link to many, many people that I know. And every single one have had a tremendously positive experience with Lightstream, as well as my own family, as well as even here at the studio when we had to restructure our debt load because of expansion. So here's what you can do. This is just for my listeners and viewers. Apply now to get a special interest rate discount and save even more. The only way to get this discount is go to lightstream.com/Hagman. I'm going to spell it out for you. It's LIGHTSTREAM, lightstream.com/Hagman. Subject to credit approval, rates range from 4.98% APR to 19.99% APR and include a 0.50% auto-pay discount. Lowest rate requires excellent credit. Terms and conditions apply. And offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/Hagman for more information. And as I always say, you will thank me later. You're going to be glad you did, and I appreciate them. Again, my fine folks at Lightstream for making this offer available to our listeners and viewers. It's an exclusive offer, and appreciate them a lot. All right. John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Finally, we have at least a relatively stable connection. John, I appreciate your patience. I don't know what's going on with the internet, but there we go. There it is. So anyway, John, go ahead. We talked about energy when before we were unceremoniously cut off. Go ahead.
Energy as in petroleum products?
Yeah, you know, I played a clip with the energy secretary on Sunday saying, you know what? The cost of your energy costs are going to go up this winter. There's nothing they can do about it. You're paying twice as much, three times as much for gas. There's nothing the president can do about it. When in fact, there's a bunch of stuff they could do about it, but they're choosing not to because I believe it's an assault on the middle class. Despite it, at the beginning of that clip, you had mentioned Tuesday's results, last Tuesday's with respect to Virginia, despite the mandate, a real mandate, getting the numbskull globalist slash tyrant out of office in Virginia, McAuliffe, that criminal tyrant in my view. But anyway, so it's all designed to crush the middle class in my view. John?
Well, it is. Clearly it is. And well, thank you, Doug. It's good to be with you as always. Well, I believe make-believe President Biden signed an executive order very quickly, 24 hours, 48 hours after taking the oath of office to shut down the Keystone Pipeline. That's my recollection. How about you?
Yeah, exactly. And not only that, there were some regulatory issues. And you can keep John's screen up there because I would urge everyone to go to John Moore, thelibertyman.com. But there were some other issues, regulatory issues, with respect to some of the other. Do I want to call them energy sectors, I suppose, in the Northeast and the Pacific Northwest, as well as around the Gulf Coast. So there were some regulatory issues that came up there. There were, but things that he could do would be to permit the existing approval leases in Anwar or Alaska to put more volume into the Alaskan oil pipeline, which has been severely underutilized. Finish the Dakota Access Pipeline, reapprove pre-existing energy leases in New Mexico, Arizona, Northeast Atlantic, and Gulf of Mexico, and continue to develop natural gas as a clean burning fuel. And also, as you had indicated, reopen or retract the stoppage of the Keystone Pipeline to permit efficient oil transport shipments from Canada. So he could do all that. But chose not to.
Right. Well, the goal of the socialist, communist, Democrats, Muslims is to destroy the country, and that's part of destroying the country. We were, before Biden took office, we were a net petroleum exporting country. You know, we exported more than we imported. So that's all changed, obviously. And manipulating or changing the price of petroleum products changes society. in very dramatic and adverse ways. Now, last time I checked, a gallon of unleaded regular gasoline in California was, I think, $7.58 a gallon.
Yeah, it was over $7. Yeah.
Yeah, that would shut down most economies in most states, or bring them to, slow them down dramatically because of the. Here's what happens when you have expensive fuel. All discretionary travel, which means all discretionary spending, stops. People stop going to restaurants. They stop going to movie shows. They stop going to all kinds of sports events and entertainment events because the price of fuel is just so exorbitant that they're trying to save as much money as possible by not traveling and staying home and watching TV instead of going to restaurants and movie shows and sporting events, you know, which is a big part of our economy, Doug. It's a huge part of our economy that's being sold down and harmed by expensive fuel in California and other places.
It just drives me crazy to think that people, John, I was thinking about you this weekend too, because I know you're a guy that runs on facts and you're a guy that looks at things very pragmatically. And of course that's based on your training, your experiences, you know, life experience. And I like to think I am too, but it's hard to look at what's going on in this country and not believe. The only way any of this makes sense is the deliberate deconstruction of our republic and replacement with a subservient nation state of the and that's being charitable, replace it with a nation state subjugating itself to the World Economic Forum or Agenda 2030 or the globalist agenda. That's kind of the way I'm looking at it, because otherwise it doesn't make sense. Why would you shoot yourself in the foot as a nation when in fact, you don't have to. So that's that. Now, because our time is limited today, I'm going to move on, John. I'm going to get your take on this because, again, over the weekend, and a lot of people are not aware of this. And I don't know if you've covered this on your show. I'm about three shows behind, with your show. But, Kyle Rittenhouse is on trial in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And when you look at the name of the mayor and the name of the head detective that charged Kyle Rittenhouse, and then the name of the DA that's prosecuting him, they're all related, same last name. But that aside, this is what's happening right now in the Rittenhouse trial. You've got George Floyd's not real nephew, but he calls himself George Floyd's nephew. Cortez Rice. Remember that name, because that's going to start something here. He's making a claim that he knows people are taking photos of the jurors who are deciding the fate in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial in Kenosha. And his stated goal, is to dox the jurors, hence to threaten them and make sure that they decide properly. Now, I want to show you a video clip here real quick. I don't know if you can see it, but you'll be able to hear it. You may not be able to understand it. I could barely understand it, but here it is. Watch this real quick.
Justice for Dante Wright. Justice for Austin.
Huh.
I ain't even going to name the people that I know that's up in the Kenosha trial. But there's cameras in there.
Yep.
It's definitely cameras up in there, and there's definitely right. People taking pictures of the juries and everything like that. We know what's going on. So we need the same results, man. We need the same results. Justice for Dante Wright. Justice for Austin.
Okay, so he's saying, let's dox the jurors. Let's threaten the jurors in the Rittenhouse trial. Now, Dante Wright, he mentioned. I'm gonna give it this back to you. Dante Wright, that trial is going on, but they disallowed cameras in the courtroom, which upset Cortez Rice and upset some of the people who are watching this. But that said, what does this guy do? He goes to the judge's house, the judge hearing the trial of Dante regarding Dante Wright, and the judge hearing that case. He goes to the judge's house. Watch this real quick. It's like 2 minutes, if that, or a minute and a half. That's number two on the second one. Here it is. Is that Hubba Bubba? I don't know, by the way.
It's tight on her ass. We on our heels. What she think is sweet? We want cameras in the courtroom. The people deserve to know what's going on. I'm just doing some shares right quick. Why she think it's sweet, right?
All right. This is showing for the
sweet,
radio.
Sweet.
He's walking down the common hallway.
She think it's sweet, sweet.
To the judge's residence.
I don't know if this is her crib. I think this is her crib right here. We got confirmation that this is her house right here.
So the pictures of the hallway.
Wait,
so he's doxing the judge in the Dante Wright trial.
Predominantly white neighborhood. Look at this shit.
Okay, you can stop it right there. You get the idea. So this guy, Cortez Rice, who claims, who identifies himself as a nephew to George Floyd, who's not, is attempting to threaten and dox and threaten the jurors in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, and then moving on to the judge in the Dante Wright case. John, when have you seen this before? And where in the hell is the FBI? Where is the local law enforcement? Where are these people? I mean, in what world is this right?
I don't know if the FBI has any jurisdiction, but certainly local law enforcement does. And intimidating a judge is a really dumb thing to do. Cameras don't belong in courtrooms. It changes the entire... everything in the trial becomes different. It's just human nature to be changing your behavior when you know there's TV cameras pointed at you, and that's not good. Now, the jury, I hope, is sequestered. I hope the jury has no access to radio, TV, or newspapers to become intimidated. That will change the outcome of the trial also. All it takes is, you know, it's bad. It's just bad. Any way you look at it, it's bad. This guy who claims to be George Floyd's nephew, that's what he claims.
It's more like a badge of honor for him. He's not a blood relative whatsoever. He just identifies as George Floyd's nephew.
Yeah, okay. Well, be that as it may, George Floyd killed himself. It's when that video, we didn't talk about this because this changed the whole country, Doug. We have movie night at the American Legion every once a week, and a few days after that Floyd video came out of him being on the ground with the knee on the neck, I said to the pastor of my church, he was at movie night, I said that, well, they've had bad examples to make all these years of people allegedly wrongfully hurt. They were all bad examples, but now they finally got a good one. I didn't know at the time the existence of the earlier video, which wasn't revealed for many months, months after the nationwide riots, by the way, of George Floyd sitting in the back of the police cruiser, handcuffed behind his back, saying, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. That was not shown to the public for months until the riots had already taken place. If it had been, that would have changed the entire outcome of what happened with George Floyd's death. George Floyd, I don't know what was in the police officer's mind, but they must have thought he was claustrophobic. They removed him from the cruiser at his own request, put him on the ground, put the knee on the neck, which is not harmful to a normal, healthy adult male, not at all. Doesn't hamper your breathing or anything else. And he died because he killed himself with drugs. That's George Floyd's fault, not the police officer's. If he'd remained seated in the back of that police cruiser, he would have died sitting right there. In the police cruiser of the drug overdose, just like he did on the ground a few minutes later.
You know, John, I remember, and this is back early 80s, going through municipal police officer training. Okay, so this is a 26-week course, And I remember, I believe we spent, I think, 5 days on proper restraint of a suspect. That include, I mean, from the, from, again, I'm pulling this from memory from 40 years ago, all right? And at that time, if memory serves me correctly, putting an individual in restraints on the ground in the fashion that they did with George Floyd was perfectly okay. As a matter of fact, that's how you would restrain someone who is combative. So when did those definitions or that those techniques change? George Floyd changed them? I mean, seriously, I don't know, because I'm not a police officer. So when did they change?
Well, I haven't looked into it. At the time this was all taking place, which is nearly 2 years ago, there were statements that the police department was of this jurisdiction was still using that as an approved restraint method. In addition, at my website, at thelibertyman.com, I have a police martial arts instructor in the Czech Republic. He speaks pretty good English, by the way. Not a big guy. He's about maybe 5'10", maybe 165 pounds. He gets on the ground and has an instructor who's a big guy, maybe 200 pounds or so, put all his body weight on the neck of the instructor on the ground. And he clearly shows one leg up in the air, no support of the other two arms touching anything. All the body weight, on the knee, on the neck, and the instructor is talking with what appears to be no problems at all, no issues at all, just talking in a normal speaking voice, which you can't, if your air is being cut off, you can't do that. You can't talk in a normal speaking voice at all.
That's right.
And that video is on my website. That's a complete diffusion of the storyline that the knee on the neck causes any problems with breathing. It simply doesn't. George Floyd himself.
Yeah, yeah.
That's irrefutable.
Yeah, he overdosed, period.
He had enough drugs in his body to kill more than two normal men.
Yeah, yeah. But yet, not half, but a portion of America was burned down over the perceived... it looks bad. Okay, I have to admit, when you're looking at it, it looks
terrible.
Absolutely. The optics were horrible. But then again, okay, he had asked to be taken from the back of the cruiser. He had asked to be, he was allowed to sit on the ground. And then, of course, I don't recall what happened, but nonetheless, he had to be restrained. So yeah, the optics were bad, but the fact of the matter is, there was how many billions of dollars in damage by these people, morons, saying, and look at the catchphrase, I can't breathe. Okay, well, and the reason I played the opening or the Kyle Rittenhouse, can you imagine? And if this jury is not a rogue jury like the O.J. Simpson jury, can you imagine what's going to happen when Kyle Rittenhouse is found not guilty? I'm just, especially with people like this Cortez guy, Cortez Rice, out there saying, trying to dox the jurors, going to Dante Rice, the judge in Dante Rice's trial, going to her house. I mean, can you imagine the civil unrest we're going to see if this does happen? Go ahead, sir.
I can imagine, because I've seen it before. Of course I can imagine.
Yeah.
Supposed to be going on for decades. When Rodney King's trial was going on, one or two black radio stations in Los Angeles were broadcasting all this hateful Marxist diatribe to get the barefoot peasants riled up. I refer to myself as a barefoot peasant, by the way. And they were quite successful. That was the days before the internet, before everybody was walking around with a telephone that's basically a small computer. Before all that, there was radio, and that's what got the L.A. riots going, was the hateful speech coming out of the black radio stations in Los Angeles. I did interview a retired Los Angeles firefighter And he says, John, after the LA riots, we were finding military issue incendiary devices in the burned up buildings. Now, people in the ghetto typically don't have access to military issue incendiary devices.
That's
not
true.
That I've ever,
no.
Not that I've ever heard. No.
So, you know, what are we to make of this? Are we that infiltrated? Because this is going to be one of the issues, I believe, that we're going to be seeing that's going to cause a crackdown on people who are completely innocent and not even involved in what's taking place. There's going to be a call for, like always, there's going to be a call for gun restrictions, further gun laws and such. But also, this could lead to some sort of limited geographical clampdown, like martial law. I don't know if that's the desired outcome, but it certainly seems that way. Go ahead.
Well, it's possible. It's very possible. This character described himself as George Floyd's nephew. He may be a man who was recruited and trained and paid for by George Soros people. I don't know that, but I think it's very possible. Chances are the Soros people in major cities will be standing by that when the Kyle Rittenhouse verdict comes out in Kyle's favor and he's found not guilty, that they will get their marching orders to begin the riots immediately. The media will portray it as being spontaneous outbursts of people upset over the verdict, when in fact it's people who could care less about Kyle Rittenhouse are just doing what they're paid to do, which is start riots in major cities. Based on what we've seen the last couple of years, they may have some success, Doug.
Do you hold any hope that everything that we're seeing today, and you know, so, the conversation last night with members of the Patreon group, there's a question that I couldn't answer. You know, how soon do you think? To me, it was asked, how soon do you think it will be before, you know, the fit hits the shan? And I didn't have an answer for that. And I don't know what kind of precipitating event would lead to that. Any thoughts as we are, you know, weeks away from the end of the year?
Roger that. It's about 7 weeks till the end of the year. We're supposed to commence the COVID shots for children 5 years old and older. That may be a line in the sand for many people, many parents and grandparents who woke up to what's going on with these clot shots. Pfizer, I believe it is paying for advertisements that make it look like to a child that they'll have superpowers if they get the Pfizer clot shot. That's absolutely criminal what they're doing there, in influencing our most vulnerable young citizens, boys and girls, age 5 and older, to get the clot shot through these deceptive means. I have a neighbor at the top of the hill from me here. He got the clot shot, and he was not long after that experiencing a heartbeat of 300 beats per minute and was taken by a helicopter to the nearest hospital. So he didn't know the relationship of the clot shots to his heart. He thought they were totally unrelated until I informed him that the tachycardia is a well-known direct effect. I don't call them side effects. Direct effect of the clot shots. Now, further research of the VAERS database is showing that almost all the fatalities and serious injuries came from very few lots. Each lot had about 6,000 vials. I think it was about three lots that had almost all the fatalities and all the serious side effects, direct effects. That shows pre-planning, in my opinion. It shows they're doing what we believe they're doing, which is having a saline solution in most of these, and the real juice that kills you in only a very few. Of course, when you take the booster shot, you're elevating your chance of getting it at that five-month interval. And then 5 months later, when you get your next booster shot, you're elevating it even more. And I would think that the the demons at Pfizer would be smart enough to make sure that they got the poisonous clot shots distributed to different zip codes rather than the same zip code to make sure they have the maximum effect. What do you think, Doug?
You know, that leads me, yes, first of all, I believe the lies upon lies upon lies of this. They're compounding the lies. I believe this was a bioweaponized version of the coronavirus taken from a bat done by Xi Zhengli in Wuhan. I believe that the Fauci Collins NIH and NIAID funded the research by way of Ralph Baric from the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. There was also a British pharmaceutical guy, as well as a Canadian, a couple of Canadian scientists that were also involved in the creation of this, as well as the creation of the, quote, vaccines, which are not vaccines. They changed the definition of what a vaccine is twice since 2015, once on September 1st. They immunized, of course, the companies like Pfizer and Moderna and other companies. Plus, the FDA approval is for a vaccine, again, not a vaccine, but for that juice. It's not being used today. So there's a lot of problems here. And I want to show you this, or you can hear this, John. This is a Dr. Robert Malone, the creator of the mRNA jab, or the mRNA genetic modification, interviewed by Laura Ingraham. It's about 2.5-3 minutes, and it kind of says what you said and where you were headed. So I'll play this for you, and you can comment on the other side. Go ahead and play that.
What the reaction would be from Fauci and friends, they'll just continue to push divisive and immoral vaccine mandates. But a brave group of independent-minded physicians and scientists are standing up to the COVID mob. Tomorrow, they're going to gather in Ocala, Florida, to affirm their support for a declaration opposing COVID-19 mandates that has been signed now by nearly 13,000 experts standing against all that. Now, joining me now are two of the most prominent doctors who've signed that declaration, Dr. Harvey Risch, epidemiologist at the Yale School of Medicine, and Dr. Robert Malone, immunologist and architect of the mRNA vaccines. Also with us is Dr. Jay Bhattacharya, Stanford School of Medicine professor. Now, Dr. Malone, tell us very clearly and succinctly why you signed this declaration and why was it an important moment for you to declare now.
Physicians are being hunted by a press and by the medical boards as an attempt to shut down their right to practice medicine as they see fit in working with their patients. This has got to stop.
Now, you're one of the architects of the mRNA vaccine. You know, without you, who knows where we would have ended up on this, this technology, this new experimental drug. So the government says, we just want to save lives. This is all about saving lives. Dr. Malone.
If that's the case, then they would have done the risk-benefit analysis stratified by age back when I had conversations with Nancy Pelosi's office about this. The words are not consistent with the actions. You know, we can use the words like lying or dissembling or misrepresentation, but their actions speak volumes.
Well, that begs the question of what their motivation really is. And Dr. Fauci was on cable news earlier this week taking this all a step further and pushing vaccines for 5 to 11-year-olds. Watch.
It's important for the children. We have 28 million children from 5 to 11 years old who will benefit personally from a health standpoint. The safety profile is really quite good. Our FDA, particularly when it comes to children, are very, very scrupulous in figuring out whether or not we have a benefit-risk ratio that's favorable.
Well, Dr. Risch, he's contradicting what Dr. Malone just said about the benefit-risk analysis. So where is Fauci getting this wrong?
He's believing the CDC. What the CDC says, the CDC is in total denial over the amount of adverse events that have occurred from these vaccines. They played it down. They used the VAERS, which under reports, we have an inkling of this because when Pfizer presented to the FDA about the 5 to 11s data from their randomized trial, there was a slide that showed the Optum database information on myocarditis, which was four times what the VAERS showed, and the study on athletes also showed that asymptomatic myocarditis is four times the number of actually diagnosed myocarditis. So we're talking about 16-fold larger numbers of myocarditis in young people, and this is just totally being repressed or distorted by the CDC and the FDA.
Now, Dr. Bhattacharya, I want to play a really emotional moment from a Texas father on this issue of vaccine side effects.
I was a father of a 60-year-old son, a single parent. I raised my boy since he was a baby. He meant the world to me. They need to quit pushing this on their children. I lost mine. Y'all need to protect yours. And they say it's worth the risk. It wasn't worth the risk.
Obviously very difficult to listen to. He lost his son after his son received the vaccine. Why are stories like these not really being told?
I mean, I think the fact is the risk that children face from COVID is so small that almost any risk from the vaccine itself might cut against recommending the vaccine. I think it should be something that's left up to parents and the pediatricians that they have. Like, you might have a child with special needs that have some additional risk from COVID. It's really a risk benefit that's best done at the individual level. Not telling people that the vaccine is entirely safe is actually really harmful to public health. It's not entirely safe. I mean, I think it's largely safe, but it's not entirely safe. And you have stories like this that just pull at your heartstrings. No medicine is perfectly safe. You have to tell people honestly what the risks are and then let them make choices. These mandates are absolutely insane. They're destroying the trust in public health. And we'll get many more stories like this. I'm worried that other vaccines that are actually useful and important for children, people will stop trusting.
Terrifying prospect.
Okay, John, said a lot of stuff there. I don't know if you were able to hear that entire clip, but
I did.
Okay.
I heard.
So go ahead and, you know, what is your take on all of this combined, especially with Dr. Malone, the inventor of the mRNA genetic therapy treatment, whatever you want to call it, and VAERS. You mentioned VAERS too.
Right. These doctors are trying to make it sound not quite so bad as it is. They're talking about the alleged safety. There's nothing safe about these vaccinations at all. My heart goes out to the father of the 16-year-old who, out of ignorance, thought it would be some health benefit to a 16-year-old boy to get the COVID clot shot. The chance of a healthy 16-year-old boy having anything other than a case of the flu with the COVID-19 is almost non-existent. Almost non-existent. Going back to my neighbor up the road, his information comes from television, as far as I know, and he thought the COVID clot shot was just a dandy thing for him to do. Him and his wife both got it. I don't know if the wife has had any adverse reactions yet or not. But another neighbor at the top of the hill from me, a nationally known rock and roll star, Rusty Young, the lead guitar and founder of Poco, the rock and roll band. So he got the clot shot in a drive-through facility and went to sleep 33 days later and didn't wake up. Initially, his wife thought it was a blood clot, but that was changed to a heart attack later. These incidents are happening all over the country. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of men and women, and now teenagers and soon to be children, that will be getting sick and die. A good reminder is what happened with the swine flu vaccine in 1976. 32 people died, and they shut down the entire program nationwide.
We've already had more than 1,000 Americans die from the COVID-19 vaccines, and they're still being promoted as being safe and effective. It's absolutely insane.
It is insane. And John, yeah. I know that you spend a lot of time trying to reconnect with me. We've reached the end of this this hour, so I just want to say thank you so much for being a part of this show. TheLibertyMen.com. Folks,
Doug,
yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, we'll do this next week. Appreciate
it. I appreciate your patience and your flexibility and the fact that you hung with me today. All right, TheLibertyMen.com. Go there, folks. Download his shows. Listen, and may God bless John Moore. May God bless each and every one of you. Have a great night.